Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Kiddushin Daf Chaf. We actually got up to the 14th line off the top of the Amid, right at the two dots. Tanu Rabbanon. Here comes a brisa. In Begapa Yovoy, Begapa Yetzi. This is a pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim. What does that mean? We have two ways to explain. Number one, Begufoy Nichnas. He came in with himself, with his body. Begufoy Yetzi. That's how he leaves. So the way the Eved came in, that's how he goes out. What does that mean? We'll see in a minute. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. I have another explanation. He holds that the pasuk meant like this. Yechidi nichnas. He came in single by himself. Yechidi yetze. That's how he leaves. That's how he goes free. Now, what does this mean? My begufoy nichnas. Begufoy yetze. What does Tanakama mean? He came in with him. Self, with his guf, with his body, that's how he leaves his owner. Amar Rava Leimar, it's coming to teach you. You see, an Eved Kenani, here we're speaking about an Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave, but an Eved Kenani, a non-Jewish slave, will achieve freedom, who can leave, if his master injures him. It's called Rasha Yevarim, tips of his Yevarim, fingers, etc. That's a vehicle for release. That's specific to an Eved Kenani, but not an Eved Ivri or an Amah Ivriya. They don't have that form of departure. He doesn't leave if he's injured, just like an Eved Kenani would leave. He doesn't. So the Pasuk's telling you, whatever he has, whatever goof he has, I mean, the owner has to compensate him for that injury, has to pay him for it. He's a victim of his injury, he has to pay him, but he doesn't leave automatically. He does not gain freedom upon that experience. So basically, what the pasuk is saying is that the guf that he brought in, that's how he takes out, meaning in whichever state that guf is in. He doesn't achieve early freedom due to injury. Amalei Abaye, why do we need a pasuk for this? We already know this from a different pasuk. Hahu then halacha, that Rashi Ivarim is not a reason for release. Miloi seitze kitzeso avodim nafka. That's the other pasuk. She doesn't leave. The Amma. The Amma is like the Eved. They don't gain freedom like the avodim. Rashi Ivarim don't trigger freedom. Why another pasuk for the same thing? Well, imi hasam, only from that pasuk, I mean, I would say, nesiv leidmei einei v'nipuk. What the pasuk means is that in contrast to what Eved Kenani, who was injured, who now just goes free without compensation, freedom is his compensation, so to speak. Lo yiseitze ketzeis avadim. The Eved, the Amma, is different. But the Eved Ivri, or the Amma Ivriya, they get two things. They're set free. Plus, they receive payment, compensation. Maybe that's what the pasuk is saying. But of course, they go free. Kamashmon comes the pasuk here and says no. This means a freedom only applies to an Eved Kenani, not an Eved Ivri or an Amo Ivri. Begufo Yavoi, Begufo Yetei. That's a Tanakam. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, the pasuk means, Yechidi Nichnas, Yechidi Yetei. He came in by himself, that's how he leaves. What does that mean? My Yechidi Yetei. Omer of Nachmar Yitzchak Hachik Omer. The pasuk means like this. We know that a master can pair up his Eved, even his Eved Ivri, can pair him up with a Shivcha Kananis for the sake of generating offspring who now belong to the master. But there are specific guidelines. There is a precondition. Hachi Gamar, that's what the Pasuk is teaching us, right here. You know when you can do that to the Eved? Yesh le isha ubanim. If he's already a married man, he has a wife or kids. Rabbi Moshe Shivcha Kananis. In this case, yep, he's eligible for the Shivcha Kananis. Ain lo yishu ibanim, but if he's not a married man, then ain Rabbi Moshe Shivcha Kananis. then his master cannot do that to him. And some Mefarshim learn that it's not enough that he's married, he has to have a family. So that's his real family, the Isha Ubanim, but that enables him to receive the Shivcha Knanis. It basically obligates him to go along with his master and paired up with the Shivcha Knanis for the sake of generating offspring. Begufoy nichnas, begapoy nichnas. He came in by himself, meaning he has no association, he has no family. He's single. In that case, he leaves in the same state. Basically, it means you can't pair him up with a shivcha knanis while he's working for you. Okay, so the pasuk in begapoy yavik, begapoy yetzi has two meanings, according to Tanakama. We'll teach you that injuries don't trigger his freedom. And according to Blazer and Yaakov, that Shivcha Knanis is only provided to an Eved who is already married, who has a family. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanu, we have learned in a Braisa. This relates to the Mishnah back on the Yudalit, which taught us that one of the ways that an Eved goes free is called Giroin Kesef. Basically, you split up the purchase price and prorate it per year. In which case, the Eved can refund, the master can repay him for unworked years, for the balance of the years, for whatever is outstanding, whatever was not yet worked. So say he sold him for $600. He bought him for $600 for a six-year service, contract. He was meant to work for 6 years. He's done three, and he has three remaining. The Eved, if he comes up with $300, he can bail himself out. Tanu Rabbanan. Nimkar b'mana. Suppose he was sold for a mana, which is 100 zuz. Okay, let's call it $100, just for clarity's sake. V'yishpiach, and then midway through his term, he increased in value. Whether it's because, the market value went up, or because he became, stronger, more husky, more valuable in terms of his own personal entity. So for whatever reason, he went up in price. Now he's up to 200. So how do you reckon this arrangement? How do you make this giroin kesef? How do you reckon the amount of the bailout? How do we know that we prorate based on the original sale price? It's based on the kesef paid at the time of sale. So although he's now worth more, this system is based on the original price, which is a lower amount. What about Nimkar b'mosai? He was sold for 200, v'hichsif, v'amad almona. Now he went down in value. He's only worth 100. B'nayin shein mechashin le'ilamona. How do we know that we go down to the local value, to the current value, which is 100. So we make our arrangement based on the current value. Talmud Leimar, Kifi Shanav. It's all about how many years remaining now, and it's prorated based on the current value, not related to its purchase price. So basically, he always ends up gaining. It's to his benefit, whatever's cheaper. We prorate it based on either purchase price or current value, whichever one is lower. Ainly ela eved hanimkar leved kichav. Perhaps this leniency only applies to an eved sold to a goy. Why? Hayel v'nigal b'kreivim. Since we find that the Torah empowers this eved, gives him extra rights, extra privileges, that he can be bailed out even by way of his relatives, which is something unique to this type of event. And therefore, yaday al tachtoina. So we give the owner the lower, the yaday tachtoina, meaning he's at a disadvantage. The Eved has the upper hand. Right? Since he has that advantage, so apparently the Torah is vying for him, so to speak, and we give him that advantage as well. We make it easier for him to, leave the guy's possession. you know, lest he be influenced by the environment, etc. Perhaps that would be the reason. But in any case, the halacha is the halacha that the Torah looks after him, gives him the extra power. Likewise, in terms of the system of Giro and Kesef, we look at the lower amount. But Nimka li Yisrael Menolim. How do you know that the same concept will apply to an Evet Solto Yisrael? Who says we prorated based on the lower amount? Amaleimar, Sacher, Sacher, Gzera Shava. We have that famous Gzera Shava. It says the word Sacher by Nimka li Yisrael. It says Sacher by Nimka Levit Kechav. We connect the two. Bottom line is, it's always to the benefit of the Evet. We look at the lower value, whether it's the purchase price or the local price, current price, whatever is less, that amount is used to prorate his bailout amount. Amar Abaye. Abaye declares, Hareini kiven azai b'shukei Tveria. You know, I have the, right now a state of clarity like Ben Azai, who was exceedingly sharp. He was Charev, V'darshan Rashi says, and he would announce, he lived in Tveri, he would announce, you know, Kol Chachmei Yisroel Lefonai Kikipas Hashum, you know, I have such clarity, and, you know, come ask me anything. So Abaye got up one day and says, you know, today I achieved the same clarity as Ben Azai. You can, you know, ask me anything. I'm ready for anything today. Amalei, Hahumir Rabbanu L'Abaye. So this Chacham approaches Abaye with a question. Look, you know, we speak about bailing out the Evet and using the old price, the current price. Michti, hanikroi, ikka lemedushina lekula, v'ikka lemedushina lechumra. You know, we can take the same psukkah. You know, the psukkah we had before, mikesef miknasa, which says, look, look after the sale price. The lower sale price. And Kifishanov tells you, look at the current price based on the lower value. So basically, you can take the same psukim and apply it lekula, as we did, v'ikra, l'midrashina l'chumra. You know, you can twist it around as well. You can make it more difficult for him. You can say it like this. Because of Meknasa, which indicates that you follow the purchase price, well, that's when purchase price was higher than now. Right? And the other pasuk, kifishanav, you look at the current value, that's perhaps speaking when his value went up. So basically, you can go l'chumra, make it more difficult for him. Who says to look at it your way? Always the lower amount. Mekesef Meknasa, you look at the sale price when it's lower than now. Kifishanav, look at the current price when it's lower than before. Perhaps the other way. You always go with the chumra, the higher price, the higher value. Right? So my chazus, what led you to interpret the psukim this way instead of the other way? My chazus. The darshinu lekula. Who says you're meant to generate a leniency and make it easier for the Eved? Nidrushin lechumra. Make it more difficult. Make him pay out more. Leisakadaitach, you can't suggest as such. We find that the Torah looked to protect the Eved Ivri, to make it easier for him, to assist him. Where do we find that? The Sanya. The Torah speaks about the Eved enjoying the owner's company. He's having it good with you because you take care of him very well. You meant to look after him. You're responsible for his welfare. Imcha b'machal, imcha b'michal, mishte, to share your food, share your drink. Shleite ato. Oichel pas nekiya. Vuhu oichel pas kibor. You know, you can't sit down to a meal with clean flour, you know, refined flour, bread made of pas nekiya, and give him the, you know, bread made of unrefined flour. You can't do that. He's entitled to the same standards as you. Give him the fresh wine, you take the old wine. No. You sleep on a comfortable mattress and materials. You put him on the hay. Can't do that. We learn from here. Whenever a person purchases an Eved Ivri, it's as though he has acquired a master over himself. Basically, you have to take care of the Eved. Just like yourself. So, the fact that the Torah was looking after the welfare of the Eved, that tells us something about the fact that the Torah is, you know, vying for him. And when it comes to prorating his bailout plan, it's based on a lower value. Make it easier for him. Well, says the Gemara, perhaps two things are unrelated. You know, there's one thing regarding his experience with you. You have to make it, you know, a rather pleasant, humane experience. Feed him. He shouldn't be in distress. But when it comes to bailing him out, look, after all, he's your Eved. When it comes to being paid to the Eved, perhaps, let's make it even more make it difficult for him. Why? He deserves it. Why did he even become an Eved? Listen to this. The Sanya. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina Omer, Boy Ure, come have a close look. Kama kosha avoka shel shvius. How difficult, how consequential is even dabbling with a light isra of shvius. Avok is like dust, like avok lashon hara, a rather, you know, lighter violation of shvius. For instance, commercializing Shvi's produce, which Rashi says isn't even a lav, it's a, we learn it from an assay, Torah says it's meant to eat it and consume it properly and not commercialize it. Okay, but a person does wheel and deal with Peres Shvi's. Look what happens to him. Look how terrible, look at the consequence. Kam makosha avokosha Shvi's. Adam noisei v'noisen Peres Shvi's. One deals with Peres Shvi's, which he's not meant to do. Look what happens to him. L'soif meicheres metatlov. He'll end up selling his belongings. Shenemar shnasa yevel azoyis. Toshu ishalach zasoy. We have one pasuk alluding to yevel. V'samechle. V'chi simkeru. Mimker lamitecha. Okanay miyad amisecha. Dovar nikim lad viyad. So the pasuk speaks about yevel, and then it continues v'chi simkeru. And Rashi learns it's meant to connect the two. If you purchase and you sell things which I don't allow you to, Yovel and, you know, Shemitah product, what's the result? He's going to have to sell his, he's going to lose his money, he's going to have to sell his belongings out of desperation. Davar anikna miyad liyad, you know, his items, his possessions, his belongings. Lo yehirgish, suppose, you know, this happens to him, he's going through a hard time financially, but he's not paying attention. He's not cognizant of that connection. He doesn't make the link that it's happening to him because of what he did. So Hashem has to push him further. We'll end up selling his fields. Shonemar, further down on the pasuk we have, Ki amcha chicha. If your brother becomes destitute, he'll sell his estate. Suppose he didn't get a handle on himself. He's still ignoring all these difficulties, and he's not doing teshuva. Ad shemeicher is basically, he'll end up selling his house. Shenemar v'chim kar beis Moshe v'rochayim. The pasuk speaks about a fellow selling his house. Now, we haven't really concluded the brisa, but ultimately, this fellow, if he doesn't get himself back on track, he'll end up selling himself as an eved. So that's how we got into this whole discussion. So perhaps he deserves staying there for a while. Don't make it easier for him to leave. We'll get to that in a minute. But bottom line is, even a light, a small, relatively, you know, lighter avera can bring a person to terrible consequences. It can lead to this whole chain of events where he has to sell off his properties, his house. You know, at that first step where he had to sell his metatlin, and the Bryce says, Lo hirgish. You know, he didn't feel, he didn't pay attention, he didn't put his heart to it. And then what happens? He sells his field, he sells his house. But then the Bryce uses different language. The Bryce says, well, if he's not, you know, paying attention, he doesn't care, he goes further. Hashem pushes them even further. Why do we change the expression from Lei Hirgish to Lei Bas Lei Yadai? Rashi explains, you know, Lei Hirgish sounds like, you know, we're hoping that he will, you know, open his eyes. But if he didn't, okay, this is what happens. Lei Bas Lei Yadai sounds like more of an absolute prediction. Chances are he won't pay attention. Why? Who says? Answers the Gemara. A profound lesson in the human condition. Kidder Rav Huna. Damar Rav Huna. Kivan she'over adam avera v'shanaba. A person chas v'chalila violates an avera and repeats it. It becomes habitualized. Hutrulai. It becomes mutter to him. Really? How does it become mutter? Hutrulai sakadaitach. Ela nasus l'keter. In his eyes, it became kosher. It became mutter. Because it became a habit. He doesn't even pay attention. It's part and parcel of his lifestyle. And that's what the Brisa is hinting to us. Be careful. At that first stage, initially, when he wasn't really entrenched into this whole, you know, then, in effect, it's easier for him to extract himself. But once he goes further and further into this pit, it's much more difficult to get out. In any case, the Brisa continues. He didn't stop there. Lo yibas liyadei, ashamaychar esbitoi. Esbitoi, yeah. Next point is selling his daughter as a slave. Shenem rachim kar ish esbitoi le'amo. Now the question is, v'afakav debitoi le'ksiva b'hanin yanam. The Gemara is asking another kash on this Brisa. We're sort of excerpting the Brisa and asking questions in the middle. You know, there's no discussion of selling his daughter at this point. Actually, the psukim go on to ribis, where a person has to borrow and pay interest. So why did the Brisa go straight from selling his house to selling his daughter? Hakamashmon, the Brisa here is teaching us, the Tana is explaining to us an interesting thing. When a person is chas v'shalom in a state of destitution, he's financially strapped and at a loss of how to, you know, deal with it, so he's going to sell off his assets and stuff, right? But if he's left with a choice, sell his daughter or borrow with interest, he should do the former and not the latter. As striking as it may sound, but at least then he has a chance of reestablishing himself financially. Nizbin inish brate, one should rather sell his daughter as a slave and get her back in a couple of years. V'loi nezif berebisa, rather than borrowing with interest. My time of why? Barte megarav anafki. Look, his daughter as a servant, as a slave. As terrible as it sounds, but there's an end in sight. It's a limited, you know, time thing. You know, the fact is, when she's done her term, she's out. Or if she gets lucky, you can bail her out midway. Migarav anafka. It sort of gets deducted as she goes along. So the situation improves, ultimately, until he's back on track. But borrowing with ribis, that can just dig him into a deep hole. V'ha'maisva'azla. Ribis is just something which is just a constantly exacerbating situation because it's constantly multiplying and increasing. So rather do that than ribis. But ultimately, lo'ibas liyadai, if this fellow came to this point, sold off everything, including his family member, but he's still on the wrong track. Ad shaleve b'ribis. So it gets to the point that, yep, he'll have to borrow with ribis. Speaks about, you know, not taking ribis. So that's the point. This person will be forced to borrow with ribis, I guess, from a non-Jew. If he's not paying attention, he'll have to sell himself. And perhaps not even to a Jewish owner. To a ger. He might get to the point that he has to sell himself to a ger toshav. Loyal ger tzedek, a proper ger. Ger toshav. Ger toshav is a non-Jew, keeps some of the you know, mitzvahs b'nei noyach, no b'dizar, etc. Shneimar ger toshav. The pasuk continues, mishpachas ger. What is that? He might even revert to the family, the goyish family, the family of the ger. In his desperation, he might have to sell himself to a goyish family. Because when the pasuk continues with the words la'ekar, What does that mean? The actual Avodah Zarah. And it's called Le'ikar, Taisa says, because ultimately Avodah Zarah will be uprooted and destroyed. So this is a big, terrible calamity. He has to go and sell himself to serve the Avodah Zarah, Rashi says, to be a water carrier, to chop wood for the Avodah Zarah. La'avodz gacham atzma. So bottom line is, this was the Yahum Rabbanon, the Chacham who asked Abaye, why, when it comes to arranging for a bailout, we look at the lowest price, whether it was the sale price or the current price, we go with the lowest number. Why don't you go to Chumra? So he says, look, we find that the Torah looks after the Eved. He has to be treated well. But yeah, that's in terms of his experience during his one he has to be looked after by his owner, but in terms of the duration, in terms of facilitating his release, who says? Who says that's good for him? The Torah actually wants him to get that punishment, as we see, that it's not for nothing that it happened. Amar Leis, so he responded, so Abaye responded, no, Hasam Ahadre Kro. You're right, even though he's at this point that he has to sell himself to Avodah Zarah, but after all, the Torah has pity on him and put him back on track, brought him back into the fold, so to speak. Yeah, he meant to look after him. The Tani Dvei Rabbi Yishmael. Fine. Let's say this fellow, out of desperation, went and is now, servicing the Avodah Zarah. Kaimer typically means a priest, but not literally. It means, he's serving the Avodah Zarah. Aim, perhaps I'll say, well, okay, he's far gone. Leave him alone. Litchi even achar hanoifel. It's an expression. Throw the stone over the fellow who tripped, who fell. Basically, just leave him there. No. Talmud Lemer, the pasuk says, achar nimkar geula tia loy echod me'echa v'galenu. The Torah instructs us to look after him. Go try to get him out. We know why it happened. It's his fault. Fine, but look, he's in there already. He's experienced it. He had his kapara, try to get him out. So we see that even in that state, the Torah looks after him. So it makes sense that we will analyze the psukim in that fashion, meaning in a manner which makes it easier to extract him and bail him out. No, says the Gemara. No, perhaps the Torah tells you to try to bail him out so that he doesn't get assimilated with the Gaim. But let's say he can afford to pay properly, holy and pidyon, in terms of establishing his bailout, amount. Nachmirle, let's perhaps come down hard on him. If they're able to come up with the money, let's require it. Midrabi Yisra Chanina, right? As we just said before. The whole point is his chet, his avera, that's why he's experiencing it. Let's make it difficult for him. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Here's the answer. Do you want to know why we make it easy for him? Why we prorate based on the lowest value amount? Trei Kroi Iksivi. It's based on Psukim. There are two Psukim. First Pasuk, Siv Im Oid Rabbeis Bishanim. Look, if there are many years left on his balance sheet, you have to pay a lot to get him out. Uksiv Vimat Nisha Bishanim. But if there are a few years, then it's a much lesser amount. Now, it sounds like we're speaking about large numbers and small numbers. Well, we all know that an Eved Ivri is sold for a set amount of years, 6 years. V'chiyesh shanem rubois, v'chiyesh shanem mu'atois. Since when do we have, lots of years and less years? It's all a standard 6-year term. Ella means like this. Exactly as we said. How do we evaluate his value? How do we establish the bailout procedure? Elon Estraba Kaspi. His value went up since he was sold. Mikasa Miknasa. We go back to the original sale amount. That's the amount used for the formula, for the bailout formula. Nismat Kaspi. On the other hand, if his value went down since then, can we shut up? We look at the current amount. Whatever his value is currently, we take the remaining years and we prorate it accordingly. So, Mikasa, Im Oid Rabbis Peshanim, tells you that if his price went up, robbers. And the other pasuk, v'ma'at, means if his price went down. Well, says the Gemara, who says? We're speaking about fluctuating values. V'ma'achikamar. Maybe the pasuk is simply saying like this. It all depends how many years are left on his balance sheet. He was sold for 6 years, right? If he worked two, or partially dalad, and four remaining, he said, lay dalad. Because of Mekanosa, we'll give him, you know, four parts, basically, whatever he sold for, we split into six, and four of those six have to be paid back. But if he worked for four, and he's last 2 years left, and he said, we give him, you know, 2 years worth of payment. That's the bailout amount. Who says we're speaking about fluctuating values? It's just a question of dividing the years. In Cain, if it were so, that it's simply giving us the basic formula. Nichtav Kro, the pasuk would say, "Oid Rabbi Shanim." There are many years on his balance sheet. Imaat Nishar Shanim, less years. What's the bays about? My Bishanim. Many years or less years? What's Rabbi's Bishanim? Oh, it's coming for this halacha. Value fluctuation. Nisrab Bekasv Bishanim. His value went up throughout those years. Now we go back to the original sale price. The lower amount is what's going to provide that formula. Mikasa biknos. This might kasva bishanim. But if his value went down throughout the years, kivishanim, we look at the current value. Rav Yosef, I'm impressed. Arshinu, Rav Nachman, Yitzchak, Hani Kroy, Kisina, Rav Nachman, Yitzchak interpreted these psukim like it was given in Har Sinai. Beautiful. This is the correct, accurate pshat and answers all our questions. Bottom line, an eved can be bailed out. So basically we divide the years by the sale price and prorate it per the years that he worked. That's deducted, and the rest is meant to be refunded to the owner for releasing the eved. What if there was a fluctuation in value? It's all about the lower amount, sale price, or current value. Why? We have two psukim. Okay, Ba'i minei Rav Huna bar Chinanim Rav Sheshus. I have a question. Eved Ivri hanim kelo eved kichav. Nigal lechatzoin? Oy einoy nigal lechatzoin? Let's say an Eved Ivri was sold to a guy. Can he be bailed out lechatzoin? So let's say the balance is $100, and he only has $50. Can he give that to the owner and cut short his stay? So he's meant to work for another couple of years. I came up with, you know, $50. I'll give it to you now, and refund me that amount of years. Nigal lechatzon? Oh, ain't a nigal lechatzon? Perhaps not. You want to bail yourself out? Full redemption, a full geula. Otherwise, nothing. Geulasa misteachuza gomar. Perhaps we connect through a sort of gzera shava. Tesis says it's not really gzera shava, but we derive from steachuza, which is a case where a fellow sold his field, his estate. He sold it, and he wants to go ahead and take it back. So just like over there, we say it doesn't work. Over there, you can't do it halfway, Rashi says. Pasuk says, you have to bail the entire thing out at once. So just like geulasai there means full. Af hai nami einoy nigal chatzoin. Likewise, in our case, the eved can't do a halfway bailout. Or perhaps, when do we say a half geula doesn't work? That's only if it helps him, if it's to his benefit. So when do we allow the halfway redemption to work? When it's to his benefit. L'chumr le'amrina, but not if it's to his detriment. So basically the question is, a half geula by an eved ivri, does it work or not? Shall we say no? We connect it to ste'achuza. It doesn't work there, it doesn't work here. Or shall we say, depends. If it's to his benefit, as we're going to see in a minute, the Gemara will explain when is it to his benefit, when isn't it. So if it helps him out, fine. Otherwise, not. Amra leisur of Sheshes responds, no, it doesn't work. Lav amras hasam, just like you mentioned to me a couple of days ago, when you sell the Eved, says if ain't loy, right? He robbed the bank, he has no money to pay back. Venimka bignevasi, and we learned over there. Nimkar kulev lechetzi. Suppose he robbed, $500,000, and he's worth $1 million. We can't go and sell him just, for 3 years. A halfway sale. No, there's no half-term sales. Nimkar kulev lechetzi. You can't do a half a sale. And I'm here as well when it says, geula. Bailing out the Eved has to be a full redemption. If you have available funds to be goyal the entire Eved, fine. But it doesn't work halfway. And the Gemara is focusing on the Eved who was sold to a goy specifically because that's where it says Lashon Geula regarding an Eved Ivri sold to Yisrael. It's a whole different discussion discussed in the Rishonim. Amar Abaye, we speak about the half redemption. And we spoke about the fact that sometimes it can help him, sometimes it can be to his detriment. Says Abaye like this, Amar Abaye, im timtza leima nigel chatzon, if you shall suggest that, yeah, you can do a halfway geula, mishkachas lakula v'lechumra. Sometimes it can help him, and sometimes, actually, it can act to his detriment. It can work against the Eved. How? Here is lakula. In this case, it's going to be to his benefit. That the partial redemption actually takes effect. Here's the case. Zavni b'meya. Purchase price was 100. Okay? He bought him for 100. Yoveli chamshin. Okay, 10 minutes later, the Eved turns around and says, here, take 50. Palga didmei, right? Half of his value. So it's a partial redemption. Va'ashbach. 10 minutes later, he goes up in price. And he jumps from 100 to 200. V'kam al-mosam. So the initial sale price was 100. Current value, 200. The Eved had already given back 50. So, now he wants to go free. How much does he pay? It depends. I amras nigal lechatzoin. If the 50 that he gave him took effect, you can do geula lechatzoin. So 50 at that point was half his value. So he's half free. Or I should say, he can cut his term into two. Cut short from, 6 year to 3 year term. Or, instead of going out at Yovel, it's talking about he's sold to a guy. So he's going to stay till Yovel. So by being guy al chatzoin, he can leave, at the halfway point, whatever it is. So the geula takes effect, if that's true. So he's half free. So now when his value went up to, he jumped up to 200. So he only has to redeem half of himself. Half of 200 is 100. Yovel may have an affix. He gives him 100 and he's free. For a total of 150, right? That's because the 50 that he gave him for that partial geula took effect. Accomplished a partial geula, which made him half free, which only obligates him to give for the other half, which is now a half of 200. So it's 100 plus the first 50, 150. V'yamas ei nigel chatzoin, but if the first 50 that he gave him does not take effect, there's no geula chatzoin. So it's like, just gave it to him as a deposit. It's for safekeeping. There was no geula that actually takes place. So now, he jumped up in value. He's worth 200. How much does he have to give him? He has to give him 200 to go fully free. So he combines the 50 they gave him with another, adds another 150. He has to add another 150, but enough. Again, now he goes free. So sometimes the Geula l'chatzoin can help him. Sometimes, in this case, it can actually help him, right? And soon the Gemara will bring a case where it actually hurts him. 1 second, said the Gemara, why? Va'amris, haven't you just told me a minute ago that it always works to his benefit in terms of, the fluctuating values? That's always on his side. Nisra be'kaspa, mekasa be'knasai. Right? If his value shoots up, then we just look at the old value, the purchase price. We never focus on current value. That was the whole sugya we had before. So how can that factor play a role here? Well, kigoyin de oiker v'zol v'oiker. We're speaking about a very strange case. The initial sale price was 200. Then he went down in value to 100. And then he shot back up to 200. So let's break it down, step by step. He paid 200. And then he went down to 100. At that point, the Eved turned around and gave him 50 for half his value. And then he went back up to 200. So if the 50 that he gave him did not take effect, because a partial geula is worthless, so he didn't do anything yet in terms of bailing himself out. So how much does he have to give him? 200. Well, you asked me, fluctuating value is meant to work to his benefit. Yeah, because here, the current value, which is 200, corresponds, it matches perfectly with the original sale price. There was a dip in between. He was 200, down to 100, back up. So the master is fully entitled to the 200. Because although it's the current value, which is higher than the previous value, but it still corresponds to the original sale price, which is Mekesem Mekmelsi. Just because there's a dip in the middle, the master won't lose because of that. Okay, so in this case, the fact that his Pidyon L'Chatzoyin works, if it works, so that saved the Eved some money. What about L'Chumra? Let's twist around this facts. Give me a case where a partial redemption works to his detriment, makes it more difficult for the Eved. Like this. Zavni B'Masan, he bought him for 200. Yoav Meya, the Eved gave him 100 for half of it. His value, pagadid me, right, half the value, half the purchase price, the ichsef. Then the Eved went down. He sunk in value. The kamal mea, he's worth 100. And now he wants to go free. He wants to fully bail himself out. How much does he need to give his master? How much does he have to add? He already gave him 100, right? If the original 100 which he gave takes effect, accomplishes a partial gula, so how much does he give him? So at that point, he was worth 200. So the 100 that he gave him freed him halfway. So he's half free. Now he went down and he's only worth 100, but he's still half unfreed. Half of 100 is 50. You have the chamshiv enough. He gives him another 50 and he leaves. Total of 150. That's because the original 100 worked. But if there's no gula l'chatzoyin, so the 100 that I gave him, just like pikadin for safekeeping, there was no, it didn't trigger any partial release. So right now he's worth how much? We said he's worth only 100. That's all he has to give him. He's basically starting from scratch. So he takes that same 100 and says, look, hey, you know the 100 I gave you? Hold on to it. Have a nice day. I'm leaving. So we see that in some cases, Gula l'chatzoyin helps the Eved. In some cases it doesn't. Boy menei Rav Huna bar Chinanim Rav Sheshes. Here comes another question. Haboy ha-moicher bayis v'bote erechim. Nigal l'chatzoyin? Oy ein nigal l'chatzoyin? When one sells a home in a walled city in Eretz Yisrael, so you can go back and sort of redeem, buy back his house. Torah gives him a year to do that. Question. Can he redeem only half the house or not? Shall we say, Gulasai Mistaya Chuza Gamar? We make that same link as before. We connect Gulasai over here to Gulasai Badi Steya Chuza, where he sold his estate, and we say, Ma Steya Chuza Eina Negelas Lachatzon, just like over there, you can't do halfway. Af Hainami Eina Lachatzon here as well. Or you can say, no, Heicha the Gully Gully. By Steya Chuza, Pasuk says, Matzah Kadegu Ulase, Rashi brings, he obtained funds to fully redeem his field. So Hecha the Gully, where the Torah clearly articulates it has to be a full redemption. Gully, okay, what's clear? Hecha the Gully, but over here it's not clear. Torah did not instruct as a sub. So who says you're limited by that stipulation? Amar Lei, so Rav Sheshes response. Mimed Rashi Shel Rabbi Shimon, based on Rav Shimon's presentation, Nishma, we can conclude, Shaloi v'goyel, v'goyel chatzoyin, then not only can he do a halfway redemption, but let's say he can't afford it. He can borrow the money, even if it's not his own funds, he can borrow it and do geula, the son. Im goyel yigal. Here's a pasuk which speaks about a fellow who was magdish his field. He gave it away to Hekdish. He wants to redeem it, take it back. There's an extra expression. Im goyel yigal. All forms of redemption work. Malam shaloi v'goyel, v'goyel chatzoyin, he can borrow the money for geula, he can do a halfway geula. Amar Rav Shimon matam. You know, Rav Shimon, very often in Shas, goes through the reason behind the halacha. Rav Shimon was Dorish Tama Dekra. He expounded on the reason, on the svaris behind the halachas, and built on them. So ma tam. In fact, why? Why is it that the Torah makes that distinction? That when you sell a field, you can't do this, you know, halfway redemption. But when you are magnus, you could. Why? Because we find that when a fellow sells his personal estate, sells his field, the Torah empowers him. Very simple. When the yevil comes, he gets it back. So since he has that added benefit, therefore the Torah makes it more difficult, restricts his ability to redeem it, because ultimately he's going to get it back. He can't borrow for gula, he can't do halfway gula. So it's sort of a fair equation, right? You're going to get it back anyway, so the Torah does not empower you and give you all these benefits. But magdish, as opposed to a fellow who was magdish's field, he's at a detriment. Suppose Yovel arrives without him having made a move, without having him having redeemed this field, he loses it. Yovel gets to the Kehanim. And therefore, Yipokoyche, the Torah, gave him that added benefit, that he can, you know, use all forms of geula, borrowing, partial. Okay. Now, says Rav Shimon, we understand that Magdish can do that, but not a meicher. It's all about, you know, the big picture. Hai meicher bayis bibote orichayma. Therefore, says the Gemara, when a person sells his field, so perhaps actually this is, Sheshes responding. That based on Rav Shimon, which we just learned now, we can conclude further regarding our question. Hai, meicher, bayis, v'bate erichayma. A person sells his house in a walled city, nami, here as well. We'll apply the same rationale. Hoyel v'ura koichet. Since he's at a detriment, he's weak in a way that she'im mala loy shana tmim. As soon as that first year is up, v'loy nigalan, nobody made a move, nechlat. It is now absolutely owned by the buyer. Basically, there's no way to refund the sale. He has no power to go and redeem it. So he has a one-year, you know, deadline for that. Therefore, it makes sense that we give him all types of privileges, all means of being goyel. You can borrow, you can do a partial geula. So that's the answer to your question. When you're magdish a field, since you're going to lose it at Yovel, Torah allows you all forms of redemption. You sell your field, you're going to get it back at Yovel anyways. You're limited in your abilities to redeem. You can't do gula l'chatzoyin. And when it comes to bayis, bata rechayim, since you're going to lose it after a year, unless you make a move, we allow you all types of privileges. Eisvi. So now Rav Huna Bar Chinna asked the kasha to Rav Sheshes from a brisa, which seems to indicate otherwise. Im Gol Yigal, this is again that same pasuk by a person who was magdish his field. Gol Yigal, a repetitious expression. Malamet shalevi v'goyel, goyel chatzoyin, you can be goyel by all means. Sheyocha v'alidinu. Why does the Torah have to tell you this? Because otherwise I would say like this. The Kal V'chomer would tell you otherwise. Uma moichar sde'achuza. when a person sells his field. Sheyafa koichai. You see, he has added privileges. Right? He doesn't lose it. He'll get it back. Shemigia yovel lo nigala. Suppose he didn't make a move, and yovel arrives, he gets it back. Chazeres labala v'yovel. Hura koichai. Still, we see that he doesn't have those powers. She'ein lo yovel v'goyel chatzayin. So basically, even though he has an advantage and he gets it back, still he loses his power. He doesn't have the added benefit, the added koyach, the added privilege, the added rights and ability to be loy v'vagoyel, v'goyel chatzoyin. Certainly, says the Brayse, maglish, shehura koyachay, when a person's maglish is field, where he's weaker in a way because he'll never get it back, unless he makes a move. Shem yigia yoyvav l'nigalo. Yevil shows up and there was no gula, Yaitel Kahanim Yel, it's attributed to the Kahanim. So he has that against him. Ein Adin, of course, we shall say, Shura Koichai, Shain Loy Vivagoyal Goyal Chatzoin, that he doesn't have the added privileges, he can't be Goyal using all means. Well, says the Gemara, you can't compare. Malamechas de Achuza, Shekain Hura Koichal Goyal Miyat. Perhaps we can explain why a Mechas de Achuza cannot be Goyal halfway, because he has another disadvantage. He can't redeem it right away. Torah says he has to leave it in the hands of the buyer for at least 2 years, right? So he has that against him. So perhaps that explains why he's weaker in a way. Torah be magdish, as opposed to a person who's magdish, sheyofa koich legal miyad, he has the ability to redeem it right away. He doesn't have to wait 2 years. So maybe he has the ability to be goyel chatzayin. Well, says the Gemara, moicher rabayis, v'bodei rechem yechiyach. I'll disprove this notion from the house in the Arichayma. He sells it. And what happens? Can he take it back right away? Of course. He can redeem it right away. In fact, he's limited to the first year. And still, despite the fact that he can do it right away, he can't be goyal using these other means. He can't borrow, he can't do a partial. So, in any case, that's the braisa. And we see clearly from this braisa that a meicher bayis bebotei rechoyma cannot be goyal chatzayin. Well, says the Gemara, that's not a kasha to the previous price. There are different shittas, like kasha. Ha Rabbanan va Rabbi Shimon. You know, Rabbi Shimon was the one who tells us that we have to look at the big picture. The Torah is protecting him and helping him. So, in the case of a magdish, where he's about to lose it at Yovel, we allow more forms of other, you know, avenues of redemption. But not a meicher sadeh, but he's going to get it back in any case. And likewise by the bayis, so he's going to lose it after a year. We allow him all these other privileges as well. So basically, Shimon is tit for tat. He looks at the equation, and we have to sort of balance things out. That's Reb Shimon's approach to the whole topic. This brayse, which indicated otherwise, is the Rabbanon. Rabbanon say that in all these situations, except for magdish shteichuza, where there's a special pasuk that he could do gula chatzayin, otherwise all these situations don't allow for a partial geula. Tani chada. So on Bryce it says loy bevegoil vegoil chatzoyin, that a person sells a bias in a ear batechayma. You can be loy bevegoil, you can be goil chatzoyin. Tani idach. We have another Bryce which says you cannot. Ain loy bevegoil vegoil chatzoyin. The kasha. The answer is very simple. Depends who's speaking. Ha Rabban. Rabban says you can't. Rab Shimon. Rab Shimon says you could. Okay, we'll continue the sugya b'ezrashem tomorrow. Bottom line is regarding Geula l'chatzoyin. How do we define geula? Is a partial geula considered a geula, or it's all or nothing? Full redemption, otherwise it's not, you know, not going to work. So by the Eved we said, apparently you need a full geula. Magdish, so the Achuza we say, do not have to have a full geula. Moichers de Achuza, you do, and Moicher Bais, but they're Rechayma, it's Machleik, it's Shim Rabbanah. And then we had the first part of the daf, which discussed the begapa yave, begapa yeti, tu pshatim, and regarding the circumstances which bring about chas v'shalom financial difficulties, up to the point of becoming an eved ivri, even to the goy or to the eved zara, and the point, the lesson of the psukim, the you know, the, sort of the chain of events which highlight the point that a person should, you know, be cognizant, not allow himself to be dragged into rote, into lack of you know, cognizance as to his circumstance. And we have Rav Huna's Chiddush that very important not to get habitualized and to keep handle on things. In any case, the Torah is still looking after the Eved Ivri despite everything, to treat him well. And in fact, when it comes to the Giroi and Kesef, the Pdiya, we prorate the remaining, you know, the balance, but it's based on the lower amount. So if there was some sort of fluctuation in terms of value, we always look at the lower amount, whether it's the sale price or the current value. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.